In the name of the one true living God. Amen. In today's gospel, Jesus had begun to teach a crowd when a man whose name was Jairus approached Jesus and knelt at his feet. Often we find that the poor and destitute often assume this position, but not a man in Jairus's position. You see, Jairus was a man of wealth and distinction, as he was one of the leaders of the synagogue. And though many of those leaders questioned Jesus' authority and the works he did, none of that mattered now because Jairus was desperate. His 12-year-old daughter was at the point of death. "Please, Jesus," he cried, "come and lay your hands on her and heal her." Jesus agreed, and they began to make their way toward Jairus' home. The crowd followed, for a man's child was dying. Would Jesus be able to save her? Little did the crowd know, but there would be yet another miracle that day. We don't know her name, how old she was, or where she came from. She was just another face in the crowd, just another woman who really had no worth, especially in those days. But what we do know is that she had been bleeding, hemorrhaging for 12 long years. She had taken every tonic and chewed every herb imaginable. She had sought many a doctor to help her, but nothing and no one could help her. She had spent everything she had, and her health was getting worse. Her life's blood was not the only thing she was losing or had lost, because according to Jewish purity laws at the time, a person who was bleeding was labeled ritually unclean. So anyone who would dare touch her would also be labeled unclean. That meant that perhaps she was totally alone because she was considered an outcast, one excluded from community. This was her story, and yet her story could very well be our story, or the story of so many others, no matter male or female. Because there are people among us who are alive, breathing, but not really experiencing the fullness of life. There are many who are barely surviving. They are feeling isolated, helpless and alone, disconnected, invisible, taken advantage of, treated as outsiders and outcasts, feeling as if they should be ashamed of how God made them, or the color of their skin, left to wonder if anyone, if even God, cares. After 12 long years, the woman was just a shell of her former self. She was at one time an energetic woman, healthy and filled with dreams, companionship, and hope for the future. But at this point in life, she was sick and tired of being sick and tired. That was until she heard that Jesus had come to town. Perhaps she heard about his teaching, about how he healed Peter's mother-in-law and the sick in nearby towns and along roadsides, or how he had calmed the sea or cast out demons. Whatever it was, she heard it, and it was enough to make her believe that he could do something for her. So the woman took a risk and made her way forward through the crowd. Her faith told her, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." And so she dared to reach out, and she touched the hem of his garment, and immediately she felt the power of God, and a surge raced throughout her body. Healing was taking place. Jesus also knew that something miraculous had happened. He stopped in his tracks. "Who touched me?" he asked. His disciples thought that this was one of the most ridiculous questions ever, because it would have been hard not to be touched or brushed on by someone in that crowd. But Jesus was certain that someone needed to touch him. Someone needed his healing power. Jesus could have gotten angry at the unnamed woman who knelt before him because she had defiled him by just touching his clothes. "Do not touch anyone or anything unclean. Do not touch a dead person, or you will be considered unclean too." That was the law. But none of that mattered to Jesus. Most of his ministry has been about breaking down barriers. Yes, he had called her out to heal her. The woman's bleeding stopped in that instant. And it took only the touch of his garment to make her whole and fully alive. Jesus helped her to her feet without a second thought. And with a look of compassion, he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Did you hear? He called her daughter. When was the last time she heard that word spoken to her? Daughter, sister, wife, mother, or even friend. But he had called her daughter. Sisters and brothers, by those words, her healing was complete. She was no longer the bleeding woman or an outcast. She is a daughter, God's beloved daughter, sent on her way in peace. Jesus had healed the woman just as he had healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law, just as he had healed the sick and those with unclean spirits. He healed the unnamed woman and gave her life, just as he would later heal and give life back to Jairus' daughter. Sisters and brothers, make no mistake, the unnamed woman's story is our story. And while not all of those who suffer will experience a physical cure like the woman in Mark's gospel, her story offers us an important lesson, one that speaks of faith and hope and courage, and knowing that Jesus offers to each and every one of us, indeed to the whole world, healing and wholeness and life abundantly, here and now. Jesus is with us to lift us up when we cannot stand and when we do not know where to go. He is the peace we need in this time of pandemic and in times of sickness and confusion, conflict and division. He is the one who will break every chain that holds us back and keeps us from truly being free. He is, as my friend Harry used to say, He is the lily of the valley, that bright and shining star, who will lead us in times of darkness. Jesus reminds us that we are all God's sons and daughters, all beloved. Day after day, we are given a choice to touch the hem of his garment. Like the unnamed woman, we only need to reach out and touch it with faith, even if our faith is no larger than that of a tiny mustard seed. Touch and be healed. Touch and be made whole. Touch and go in peace. Amen.